107 DGS. Rachel, it's a nice day out there.
It's 77 degrees out there, according to Michael Calhoun.
It's 37 in here, so average that out.
Good balance.
God, these flat earthers are friggin' idiots.
What did they do now?
I'm just watching the Starship launch. Like, shut.
It's all fake, Dave.
Go eat beefaroni with your mom.
It's just going up to where the firmament starts and then it stops.
I don't know. I think the flat earthers are like quaint now.
Oh, no.
After all the other conspiracies, it's like, huh.
Well,
remember when people just thought the earth was flat?
At least they're harmless.
Bernie Sanders, I saw this on TikTok today and I thought it was a joke, so I just passed it up and didn't even write it on my notebook, but it's real. He's introducing a bill to make the 32-hour work week the standard, like with unions and such, and you wouldn't lose any money, you wouldn't lose any salary, you wouldn't lose any benefits, say making the argument that the 40-hour work week was established in the 1920, in fact, I believe it was, and that's antiquated, and with modern technology and artificial intelligence, that it's ridiculous that we shouldn't enjoy the benefits of our technology and our knowledge, and therefore 32 hours is plenty. Thoughts?
I think he's making an excellent point. However, I don't think any of these businesses are going to accept less productivity and still pay out the same amount of money. So ultimately, it does seem like it would hurt American jobs.
So we would have to show that we can have the same amount of productivity.
Yeah, but see, then the business side of it, if I'm in the CEO's position, I'm like, well, all right, well, let's stick with the 40 and we can be more productive.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can get more stuff done, well, then, and look, I get it. I would love to, I think all of us would love a shorter work week. And I think there's a logical point that he's making, right? Like, look, the world has changed. We don't need to follow the same rules as back in the day. But right now, don't we kind of have an accepted kind of contract agreement that 40 hours is the work week? That's what we're signing up for when we take a job that is one of those types of jobs.
That's what we're
and
used to.
If you can,
or more.
And if you can negotiate that, you're free to do it. Every worker can, if you have enough power, negotiate, hey, I'm only going to work 4 days a week. And if you can make them the money they want, they'll be like, fine, that's cool. So I don't know. I mean, it's a tough argument. I would be in favor of less because I do think we can. I'm just thinking about my jobs that were 9 to 5 when I was younger. You didn't work 8 hours. A lot of times you're just killing time until the clock runs out.
But I mean, he's talking about unions. If you're a carpenter.
Yeah, you're actually working. Yeah.
Carpentering for 32 hours. I mean, that's
you're going to make less.
Hours. Yeah. I mean, I get what he's saying. It's a nice sentiment.
Yeah.
I just don't think that it actually works when it comes to most jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, what if they applied that here and it's like, oh, you guys only have to do the show 4 days a week? Well, isn't that going to result in less listenership because people are going to...
Less ad time.
Yeah, less ad revenue. If people tune in somewhere else on Fridays, maybe they start to like that show more and it takes away from... Like, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's a great idea and I get why you say it, mm-hmm. but
you two are as crazy as the flat earthers.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, in theory, I love it. But in practicality, I don't know how it works.
To me, it feels like an easy fix, but one that won't get done. You just have to hire more employees because
everybody... Right, but that's what they don't want to do.
But then the companies are going to spend way more money.
That's my point. That's why I'm saying they'll never let this... I mean, the lobbies, if nothing else, will never let this pass just because they have shown time and time again they are not interested in hiring more employees. I mean, we're all working... Pretty much everyone's industry is working on a skeleton crew, essentially.
Yep. Yeah, and I think on top of that, like even if you made it a law, well, then what they're going to do is just go straight full part-time. You're going to hire people part-time basis, and you say, well, you can work 32 hours, but we're only paying you for 32 hours, and we'll hire someone else to make up whatever the gap is.
Yeah. Not to be too personal, but you went through that, didn't you, Andrew, where they were kind of giving you 39 hours a week? And
yeah, it was our old company had something that they called permanent part-time. Which meant that you could...
It's a little too on the nose, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And it was where they could basically still consider you a part-timer. You were eligible for some but not all benefits, right? You weren't salaried. You were hourly. You weren't given certain things. But you were eligible for health insurance, which was, to my side, the most important thing. So I seized it with both hands.
Yeah, I did that.
No other company really, I think, offers that anymore. I know this one didn't because that was the big drama when we moved companies. Was that they were going to... So the way Odyssey does part-time stuff, they limit the hours to, like, they kind of have a hard cap for the hours, And then, of course, no benefits, which is common for part-time work.
Yeah. Right.
So there was kind of that, like, mad dash where everybody kind of considered me to be full-time already at the old company, but it wasn't official in paper. And our new company was like, you know...
This guy's a part-timer.
Yeah, well, he's a part-timer. So he's limited to this many hours, and he's going to lose benefits and, you know, whatever else. So there was, like, a big rush. Our old HR person, Patty, was... You remember Patty.
Yeah.
She was absolutely wonderful in
Patty
getting
McMahon.
Me... Mm-hmm, absolutely wonderful in getting me helped transitioned over here.
I mean, that was my life when I was new in radio. Back, it was... The network was called back then One-on-One Sports Radio Network. It was just very small, but you were full time. I was working 5 days a week, but it was 35 hours because if you go more than that, you got to be full time.
Headlines, Rach.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. A new study by the National Institutes of Health found that roughly 11% of high school seniors reported using the psychoactive substance Delta 8. In the past year. So Delta 8 is something I looked up. You can buy it at gas stations. It's a type of cannabis that is not, let me see here. I had it pulled up. Oh, I X'd out of it, of course. But it's a legal cannabis that you can buy in places where it's not legal. You can get it, like they talk about gas station heroin. Mm-hmm. This is like gas station cannabis. More and more kids are using this, especially in southern and midwestern states, without cannabis legalization or regulations on Delta products. My question is, why is this slipping through the cracks and allowed to be sold at a gas station to a teenager? This is insane. Let's get it together, people. Biden voters want Michelle Obama. That's according to 3/4 of people who voted for President Joe Biden in 2020, said they would back former First Lady Michelle Obama if she ran for the 2024 Democratic nomination.
How do you think she'd really do? And let's assume that she campaigned very well. She debated very well. Just give her the benefit of the doubt. Just being Michelle Obama, how do you think she'd do?
I think she would do great. I think she's one of the best surrogates the Democratic Party has. I remember in 2020 when it was the DNC and she came out and she had her very powerful speech about how Trump was hurting the country. I mean, that made huge shockwaves through the media that she was doing that. But she's incredibly well spoken. She's kind of everything Biden's not, as far as like the way she carries herself.
And she has Barack.
Yeah, and she's...
I think that might be the drawback. Not for me, but I think for the people that'll criticize. Right? Because I think Rach is completely right. I think she'd be very popular amongst Biden supporters.
But there are a lot of... I mean, the people...
But there are a lot of haters.
The people who support Biden because they would look at him... they look at him as the closest thing we can have to Barack without having another 4 years of Barack. So if you present a situation where... And I don't really get it. I don't know if she would be a good president. I don't necessarily know what the fuss is about when it comes to her and running for president, but everybody seems to think it's a possibility. But I do think if you told the Biden voters, like, hey, we can literally get Barack back in the White House, what do you think? I think they would be all over it, because I think that's what they really want. Is they think that there was the last time everything was good in America was...
If you had to bet your own $10, you think she'll run at some point?
Yeah, I think she probably will.
Wouldn't surprise me. If I had to bet, if you said you have to place a bet, then I would place the bet on yes.
America's drunk driving limit could be changing. A growing number of states are considering lowering the blood alcohol level at which drivers are considered to be legally under the influence. In Hawaii right now, they're looking to change it to 0.05% from 0.08. And there's a similar bill in Washington state. And Utah has already adopted the lower limit. But in every other state, it's 0.08.
I wonder what that's based on. And I'm not doubting it. In fact, I'm for it. I don't care. I mean, like, I don't...
Supporters say lowering the limit would prevent more deaths on the road and point to the fact that the lower limit is already in place in other parts of the world, including many European countries.
I'm cool with that being strict. I'm not down on it. I just wondered if there was, like, new research that showed that 0.5 is actually that level rather than 0.8.
How much that is. For someone like me, 5'10", 185 pounds... is that three beers? Is it two beers?
Yeah, it would be interesting to have someone with like a legit breathalyzer come in on the show. Because I don't know what 0.08 feels like. I don't know if, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's you're supposed to have one drink every hour and you're probably fine under the legal limit as long as you're keeping it to that. But I don't know. I would like to know exactly what that legal limit feels like. And that's just like a tool that most people don't get to utilize. I feel like it's just like, oh, don't go over it. But
yeah, it is a little, I don't know. I was going to say it is a little weird, or maybe it would be weird if we did. But I know that there are things you can get for your iPhone that's, that's like a breathalyzer. That for people who do drink and drive, and trust me, I'm not proud of it, but I've done it many times in my life when I was younger. I don't do it now at all, but that would be very helpful. Then if you, you've had a couple beers and you're getting ready to leave and you're like, boom, let me check this.
So 0.08 is 4 to 5 12-ounce cans of beer.
Over a certain period of time?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got to be, it's not spread out over 7, 8 hours, whatever. But in I don't know what that period of time is, but in close concentration. Yeah. So 0.05, you just do three. a little bit of math, it's probably three.
A new poll shows that voters are becoming less pessimistic about the economy. According to USA Today, a third of registered voters believe the economy is recovering. That's the highest share we've seen since Biden took office.
Can I go back real quick? I wonder, I would love to see the statistics since marijuana was legalized on how many people have been pulled over and charged with driving while under the influence.
Oof. I know that there are a lot of people driving down 70 that are
smoking it up,
that are smelling. I mean, it's crazy, man. Like when you're driving down
the
highway,
smell of Highway 70.
Right? But I mean, it's actually it's not just there either. I mean, I get it on 40 as well. But it's like if I can smell that, and I don't know if that means anything because it is a very strong smell, right? It's not your typical, you know, smell it and go past it. I mean, it's strong, but man, when you can smell it driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, that's pretty crazy. I don't know. That's a good question. I wonder how many, like, what that's led to.
I've not heard of anyone. I know a lot of people and I haven't heard of anyone yet. So
is it a more difficult test to do? Could like, is there a field test for it? Like, you know, you can just blow into the breathalyzer. Can you do that with marijuana or do you have to do a blood test?
To my knowledge, no, that it's difficult for them to tell through testing whether you just ingested it or you ingested it 20 days ago.
Right.
I think it's more of a field sobriety kind of like, look, I think you're high and you're definitely not driving well.
Right.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have Dave Murray coming up, which is important because we have some weather moving in a couple of hours now, it seems like. 4 p.m., we have Senator Holly Rader on, who is also running for lieutenant governor. She is talking about trying to get rid of people coming from different states so that they can marry their 15-year-old girlfriends. I am in favor of that. Audio.
Okay, let's start with you, Dave. You have some audio from Ken Buck.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting. He is the latest GOP normie to say, I'm done with all this nonsense.
This place just keeps going downhill, and I don't need to spend my time here. We've taken impeachment and we've made it a social media issue as opposed to a constitutional concept. Mike Johnson's ability to talk me into staying here is going to be about as successful as his ability into talking me into unconstitutional impeachments.
Thank you.
Good. So I wish get out of the way so another crazy person can get in there.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this a little bit because I think I said last week, like, oh, great. So now you're leaving. So all the same people are leaving. But maybe they just look at the situation and go, there is nothing I can do. The only thing I can do for my own sanity is to remove myself. It's probably a train that is just going so quickly that there's no way to stop it necessarily.
But I know one thing that will accelerate it, though, is letting more of them in.
Yeah, but I mean, if he knows he's going to lose re-election.
Well, that's a different case.
Why put yourself and your family
through
it?
Long-term, you just,
good point,
you just have to hope for the crazies showing themselves as crazies and failing. And we've talked about this on and off the air. You never want to root against your country. You never want to root against your state. But when you have a bunch of clowns and monkeys in there, you end up having to root against them so that they fail so badly that they don't get re-elected.
So Wheels, is this audio from Ben Shapiro?
We can play that pretty quick. Yeah. So Ben Shapiro is arguing that nobody should retire at 65.
And let's be real about this. It's insane that we haven't raised the retirement age in the United States. It's totally crazy. Joe Biden, if that were the case, Joe Biden should not be running for president. Hey, Joe Biden is 81 years old. The retirement age in the United States, at which you start to receive Social Security and you are eligible for Medicare is 65. Joe Biden has technically been eligible for Social Security and Medicare for 16 years, and he wants to continue in office until he is 86, which is 19 years past when he would be eligible for retirement. No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old.
His show every day could be about how sexy I am, and I couldn't listen.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough. But how about that,
that
line?
That voice.
Nobody in America should be retiring at 65 is what he's saying. Tell that to physical laborers, man. I mean, not all of us.
He's a podcaster.
I know.
He's like, there should be no reason why anyone should ever retire.
Jeez.
Work until you're dead. Well, he's the worst.
All right, it's always great to have Dave Murray on. Had him on every day for 24 years, but tonight's especially important because we're looking at some bad weather, Dave.
Yeah, that's that's the specialty. There are two. Well, let's do the setup here first. Tornado watch in effect till 9 o'clock. There's a cold front coming in. It's not rocketing our way, but it is coming. And there is this broken line of rain and thunderstorms running from about Springfield, Illinois, all the way down to Oklahoma and northwest Arkansas, including the Ozarks. It's not a solid line, so not everybody's going to get whacked by this thing. But the closest stuff is to the west and to the southwest of St. Louis. There's a pretty good storm approaching Warrenton. It's kind of between Pendleton and Warrenton out to our west. There's a suspicious-looking little hook on the end of that storm that we have to keep an eye on. There is no tornado warning in effect right now, but I'm really interested in watching that thing. That hook is north of Berger and north of New Haven. Then the second storm, you have to go to the south. It is to the east of Sullivan. It is to the south of St. Clair and Cedar Hill. It's kind of moving between Hillsborough and Cedar Hill in Jefferson County. That is also severe. And what these things have been producing is fairly large hail, strong gusty winds. And there's always a possibility in these supercells of some small twist-up tornadoes. And that's why we have to be alert. This will continue to come towards the St. Louis area and move through the St. Louis area, but it's going to take several hours to do that. And as I always like to point out, not everybody is going to see strong to severe thunderstorms. Just because there's a tornado watch up and just because we do have some severe thunderstorms does not mean everybody is going to see it, but the atmosphere is juicy. The atmosphere is prime. It's the prime time of day, especially with the time change. So we really have to pay attention to the sky and the weather between now and about 9 o'clock. Once we hit 9 o'clock, the winds will turn to the northwest. That's the cool front coming through. We'll drop back to 48 degrees. Friday, kind of a cloudy day, slow clearing, fingers crossed during the afternoon on Friday, and noticeably cooler. We got to 80 degrees today. We're 58 for the high on Friday. That will get your attention anyway. Friday night, clear skies, 37. The weekend looks good. Saturday, sunny and 68. Saturday night, a dry cold front comes through, 38. So it's a little cooler on Sunday, partly sunny Sunday and 55. I think we go into the mid to upper 20s for low temperatures late Sunday night, Monday morning. Probably do that again late Monday night into Tuesday morning. So let's just be smart. We know how to handle this. You know, don't get freaked out. Just pay attention of what's going on.
And so, Dave, we're kind of out of the woods around 9 p.m., 10 p.m.?
Yeah, I think by 9 o'clock, that most of this stuff is to the east, but it does go all the way back to Columbia. So we've got several hours to go here before we're all clear. But let's use 9 o'clock as the number. So by 9 o'clock, we should be in much better shape.
And what time should that start heating up, let's say, around Columbia?
In Columbia, it's happening right now.
Okay.
So it's getting ready to move into northern St. Charles County and getting ready to come right through central Jefferson County. Those are the two big storms that I'm watching. So as far as the immediate metro St. Louis area, you know, give it up. Oh, there goes the tornado warning. There is a tornado warning now in effect for that hook we were talking about off to the southwest of Warrenton. So that little suspicious thing I was looking at has, in fact, turned into a tornado warning. So if you live to the, let's say, just to the west of Warrenton and Innsbruck, be aware that there is at least an indication of a tornado on radar. No ground confirmation at this point. So it's west of Warrenton, west of Innsbruck, south of Jonesburg, north of New Haven. That kind of gives you a little X to put on there where that Hook Echo is located. As far as Metro St. Louis, I think we're living on borrowed time anytime after 5 o'clock.
Okay, very good. We'll do a stairway, Kev?
Sure. We'll do a quick fun science one, too, because I know Dave might enjoy that, too. So did you see, Dave, have you been following at all the studies that they're doing in the deep trenches of the ocean near New Zealand? Like, that's been a...
Yes, I'm more interested in underground volcanic activity, but that's really important.
What do you got
stuff
on underground volcanic activity, quick?
Anything new and exciting?
Well, there is growing interest in what's going on under the ocean and how that relates to the warming of the oceans and warming of the planet, that it may just not be man-made stuff. Hmm. It may be natural stuff going on, too.
Hey, guys, let's pause for a moment. Maria Keener from the newsroom is here. Go ahead, Maria.
They just issued a tornado warning for Warren and St. Charles counties. Now, this storm is right now for western St. Charles, central Warren County, 339, a severe thunderstorm capable of producing right now a tornado located 7 miles northwest of Treloar, and it's moving east at 35 miles per hour. It's producing golf ball size hail. Now, this is a radar indicated tornado. Flying debris will be dangerous for those caught without shelter, and the dangerous storm will be near Warrenton, Truesdale, Innsbruck, around Wright City, should be hitting at about 3:35. Other locations in the path of this tornadic thunderstorm include Wentzville, Lake St. Louis, as well as Josephville, and it includes Interstate 70 between exits 188 and 212.
Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So that's
that Hook Echo that we were talking about. If you live in the Warrenton area, Innsbruck area, this time to take immediate safety precautions. Even though we don't have one spotted on the ground, that's a mean storm. It's doing its thing. Ride it out, then it'll be gone in 15, 20 minutes.
Good times. Well, the thing I was going to bring up as far as the ocean thing is there's a bunch of scientists working off the coast of New Zealand, and just within the last, I think it's just within the last couple of months, they found 100 new species of deep oceans, or species of fish, eels, starfish, things like that in the deep ocean just in a short time. They said they think they're going to be able to find up to 100,000 new species in the next 10 years. Just in that area.
When you think about it, we have barely explored the oceans, especially the deep oceans. There's got to be all kinds of stuff. There could be an aqua animal down there like Bigfoot that has flippers.
Whoa.
A mermaid?
An Aquaman.
A real Aquaman.
Man, there you go. I just find that we talk about I'm blown away by it, whether it's in the forest or whether in the jungles of Congo or in mountainous areas or under the Earth's crust. I mean, the things we're figuring out with technology getting better and better, 100,000 new species in 10 years is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing stuff. So then,
and goes to show,
and that's just one spot.
Our hubris,
yeah.
That we figure out a few things. We've come a long way in the last couple thousand years, in the last couple hundred years, in the last 20 years. But that doesn't mean we know everything.
Mm-hmm. It's just feeling like we know the land pretty well, but even the land, there are so many places that are essentially untouched.
Sure,
that people can't get to, don't get to, or if you could, it's just so prohibitively expensive and dangerous on top of that, it's not worth doing. But as we continue to spread out, because we haven't stopped doing that, eventually we're going to get to those areas, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not in 10 years or 20 years, but eventually we're going to get to some of this stuff that's not been there. And I know we talk a lot about Bigfoot because that's your interest and one of my interests too. Maybe it's that, maybe it's not, but the fact that we just don't know so much is awesome.
Yeah. And it's different finding an 8 foot, 1,000 pound ape man. But when we're, a lot of these species we're finding are from millions of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the coelacanth and things like that, that places that just humans have not ruined. And, you know, we talk about this also. When we think of the world, we think of our world. We think of buildings and highways. Yeah, yeah. That's not the world. The world is nature. We have impinged upon nature to create our world.
Yeah, we've created our habitat.
Yes. Yes. Right. Well said.
Mm-hmm.
That's good? All. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it.
All righty.